This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, a podcast about the cringing and whinging of unrequited love. My guest today is legendary superstar, stand-up writer and broadcaster, Rosie Jones.
Hello!
Hello, Rosie! So excited to talk to you.
Me too. I can already tell that we're going to be here for about 8 hours.
Yeah. The sun will be going down as we continue to talk about this. So you've always struck me as a very confident minx. Do you suffer from crushes? I mean, I know what the answer is.
Oh my God, I feel like this podcast is made for me. So, yeah, you're right. I am confident. Always had loads of friends, but when it comes to love, no. I was thinking on the way here, and we'll get into this in detail.
Yeah, the daily.
But I have had a constant crush, different people, but I've always crushed on somebody since I was 4 years old.
Wow, no breaks.
No breaks. And not even that, as well as that, I constantly have 3 layers of crushes.
Oh my God. And has that been, that can't have been the same since you were 4.
Yeah, it's like a crush trifle.
Well, come on, we need to get into this. So, is it best to do the top layer first?
Let's do the custard.
I can't remember where the custard is. The custard
the
in the
bottom.
The bottom, okay.
I mean, people will complain, but I think I'm going on the basis of custard, jam, cream, strawberries.
Wow, okay.
We can add strawberries.
All right, I mean, I feel like we could talk about trifle for, for the next hour, but let's try and get back on topic.
The custard.
The custard.
This is the big one. The big old, like, all-consuming crush. And I average a custard crush for about 5 to 8 years.
Wow.
Since I was 4.
Yeah.
So, like, at 4 years old, my custard crush was my teacher's aide.
Right.
Which, at 4 years old, I probably didn't recognise it as a crush.
Sure.
I just knew that I wanted to hold her hand. Aww. A lot.
And did you get to hold her hand?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you see, that's what I mean about the confident bit. That is... I'm glad that at least you've got that hand holding to cling to.
Margaret, something that you probably know about me is I've always been a little bit of a pervert.
Oh, yeah, it's the first thing I noticed.
And even from 4 years old, I was absolutely milk. That cerebral palsy and be like, no, I actually can't walk anywhere. Without holding your hand.
I mean, you've got to use it, haven't you?
I know. And I even took it to uber levels of perverseness. And sometimes I would pretend that I needed a nap in the middle of the day and she would stroke
my
hair.
Oh, my God. I mean, if I could do that now, I would totally take that.
Yeah. So that's my culture crush.
Yeah.
And that's been throughout my life. I'll meet someone and before I came out it used to be a friend, a straight friend that I will go, I really like it. I don't know why. I tell you what, I think about her every day for the next 7 years.
Did you think that that was, for want of a better word, normal? Like, did you think everyone does this? This is what you do. This is what life is.
Yeah.
You just fixate on a person.
Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't want to do this because I love how lovely and light-hearted this podcast is. But the dark thing that I'll say, and then we'll get back to the lovely.
Listen, we can stay with the dark as long as you like. I love it.
I have always had crushes that I don't tell them about, and I think growing up it was mainly to do with my disability, and it is something that I am still working on, but deep down there's a voice in me that goes, oh, they're amazing. They're so amazing. They deserve someone not disabled. They deserve someone better than me. So I'll just light them from afar. I'll be a really good friend and then they'll meet someone that they deserve.
That's so sad. But I think that happens loads, that internalised. It's just rejection, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way of just going, oh, God, well, no, obviously I'm not
good
enough.
You know, I am so far been to three weddings where at some point I have had a raging crush on the bride.
Wow. And how did it, were they different? I mean, obviously they're different, but like, how did you feel at those weddings?
It ranged. So two out of the three, I loved their partner. It was a long time ago I'd had those feelings, so I was like, great, fine, I'm happy, little bit weird, but lovely day.
Come on then, give me the third. That's what we want. La la la, it was all fine and I was happy for them.
The third one, and I'm gonna be quite vague here. Let's order big time custard crush for 8 years. And, I'm also a psychopath.
Sure.
So...
I'm writing this all down.
So, during those 8 years, I had told her a little bit a million times in my head. I had planned how we get together, what a house would look like, how I would propose a wedding, blah, 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 psychopath.
No, I have to, well, if you are, I am too, and a lot of us are. I mean, I don't think, yeah, that's definitely not psychopath. Yeah. I think there's loads more people choosing furnishings than you'd think.
I would... fully over by then. But that wedding day was like, I spent a third of my life thinking your wedding day was gonna be my wedding day.
Yeah.
And now I'm here. And I'm watching you marrying someone else, and my mum and dad were there, and I'd not told my mum any of this, and I was very drunk, and my mum took me to the toilet and said, "Are you okay?" And I went, don't ask me that. And then it clicked and she went, "You loved her, didn't you?"
Oh, God.
And I went, yeah.
Was that good to hear, though, that she got it? Was she the first person you told? Did other people know that you felt like that?
No.
That's a big secret to keep.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And I was in love with her when I was in the closet and for literally years I was like, I'm not gay, I'm not gay, but she's an exception and I reckon I'm the exception for her. So when I wasn't, and when she met someone...
Was it a man? Did she marry a man?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least, you can still keep that. Yeah. You could have been the exception.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, and the other thing you should have done is, like, looked at that wedding and gone, well, I wouldn't have had those flowers. Wouldn't have had those people.
You know what? I think I was very grown up in what I did, in that I had a cry with my mum, wiped up her tears, went out, and I drank 18 shots.
Of what?
Everything. Margaret, literally.
Did you do that thing where you went round the tables just clearing up everything that had been left?
Oh, yeah.
Free as well. Yeah. I mean, the dream. Yeah. Sure. So grown up. Listen, it was grown up if you didn't tell the bride.
No.
You know, that would have been the proper psychopath thing to do.
And that's the thing, probably get into it later, but there has been coaches that are told and they've had various success rates, but with this one, she's still a friend and I never told, because I think deep down there's an understanding. She gets it, and I feel like if I said to her, oh, fun fact, I was in love with you 12 years ago, it wouldn't change anything, or I think it would maybe affect our friends.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It would, because it's weird, isn't it? We rarely talk about what it's like to be on the other end of it when someone says that they had a crush on you, but sometimes that can feel like a betrayal, or like, oh, you kept that a secret when we were so close.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, oh, and you don't feel that now?
Yeah.
Well, that's upsetting. Yeah. What did I do?
And yet again, I'm taking it a little bit darker. Woo! So if I add to that lovely internalised ableism, in hindsight, I probably had an internalised homophobia when growing up. I think the word lesbian had such negative connotations, and lesbians were seen to be quite masculine, and maybe for me, edging on predatory, and I never, ever wanted to be that or give that image. I worried about telling a seemingly straight woman that I have feeling for them, because I feel like female friendships, like, we'd shared the same bed, we'd held hands, we'd seen each other in our bras, and I didn't want them to be like, oh, that whole time she's been creeping on me, because I wasn't. Most of the time, these feelings were so innocent, and it wasn't, oh, great, I saw her in the bra and knickers. It was more, oh, when I'm in a room with her, I just feel so warm and safe. Like, it was always so innocent for me, so I never wanted them to change how they acted around.
Yeah, and change what they thought of you. I was thinking this about homophobia and how often the thing is like, oh, you must, that a lesbian would fancy all women.
Yeah.
I mean, go, that's not how it works.
No.
You know, and just because you have a close friend doesn't mean, of the same sex, doesn't mean you fancy them in the same way that nobody fancies everyone. Yeah. I mean, maybe someone fancies everyone, but I've never met that person.
I mean, she's a great friend, but I have one friend who, when I came out, she said, have you ever fancied me? I thought she was saying it to be like worried or concerned, and I hadn't. So I said, Never ever.
too much now. Too much.
I have not fancied you for 1 second. I fancied for you being pulled to me. Don't worry. And she was that.
That's the thing. I think it's rude to tell anyone you don't fancy them. I think it's just if anyone asks, just say, yeah, a bit, yeah.
What of it?
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? I won't lie, I'm thinking nap. Or if I'm already getting a nap, a longer nap. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but do you ever think about what you would do with it if you did have unlimited time? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to work out what's important and then prioritise it. Therapy can help you pin down what matters to you so you can do more of it. The therapy that I've done has been massively helpful with untangling my thoughts in order to make sense of them, so they're not just a clump of anxious screams sitting in my stomach. Therapy isn't about changing who you are as a person, but helping you to find coping strategies for the horrors our lives and our brains throw at us. And the healthier we are mentally, the better we feel physically. If therapy sounds like something you could use, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, so it's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, so no travel time necessary. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch therapists anytime for an additional charge. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/crush. That's betterhelp.com/crush. So listen, when you came out, what changed? What had changed? Was there someone that you liked that you managed to tell? Or
I was quite old. I was 27. And I had been in London for a few years. So
well, that'll turn you.
Yeah. I mean. Then it was amazing because, as I said, coming from a Yorkshire little town that I did of a what a stereotypical lesbian look like and acted like, I came to London and I thought, oh! I can keep my long hair. I can wear dresses. I can be girly. So that opened my view in a such a refreshing way. And then I, the big Custer crush had been going on for 8 years. So by then I was like, I need to stop kidding myself that I'm not gay. It's just her. And I need to allow myself to, it almost felt like popping a balloon. By then, I was doing stand-up comedy a bit. I just met you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing that will turn.
Yeah. Basically, I met you.
Done. Nailed. By the end of that day.
People need to know. And through comedy, a man boy can talk about comedy all day, but I think what's amazing is it can be so real and authentic. And I started stand up and I was talking about crushes or people I fancied and automatically changing the pronouns, going he,
oh, him. Wow.
And in my head, I was like, that's not true. Why are you saying this? And for me, there's some great comedians who can spin a story and make up something. But I think for me, all my jokes and all my story need to come from a real place. And so I thought, right, if I'm properly gonna be the authentic self that I've pushed down for 27 years. But yeah, I just popped that balloon and I just felt lighter.
And did you feel more able to approach people that you fancied?
I mean, I am 32 and I still have my trifle crushes. My current crush has been going on for 4 years.
Oh, Rosie.
But I told her.
Oh, my God, congratulations. What happened?
She's here.
She's been sitting very quietly.
Sorry, I keep calling you Custard. Oh, my God. I entered the next layer of psychotic behaviour.
Psychotic trifle?
Yeah. So, I met her, really liked her, didn't tell her for years.
God.
And I thought, I can't ever tell her. So I did a total normal thing.
Sure.
Normal.
So normal.
Normal of I wrote a children's book. Normal. And my children's book is about a girl with cerebral palsy. I don't know how I came up with that.
Your imagination, honestly.
No, but wait for it. That girl with cerebral palsy has a crush on her friend.
Oh, wow.
And at the end, they kiss. And it's a real, like, wholesome, like...
Yeah.
Like, book, but the friend is based on the woman
the
I have a crush.
Does she have the same name?
No.
Oh, cunning. So you weren't that psychopathic.
Yeah, you could have
done that. Sent it to her. What do you reckon to this?
Coach Roy really good friend. She, read an early copy and she liked it. And I said to her, oh, just so you know, you are floor.
Oh my God.
And
did you say it in person?
No.
No.
Can't
email. No, that's a step too far. Fair enough.
No.
Another 27 years for that.
Come on. I wrote it in a cake.
I send all my messages like that.
Happy birthday. And she was wonderful, and she was really taken aback and said, "That's amazing, but I just see you as a friend." But actually, I didn't mind that because I feel like, especially the wedding crush, I was much younger, and a lot of that pain came from not having an outlet for my love. I mean, it felt quite beautiful to be like, "I'm telling you this, and I don't want anything from you, but the love and the feelings I have for you has made me want to write this book."
That's so beautiful.
"I find happiness from that. I'm proud of everything I've done, but something I'm most proud of are my children's books. Children come up to me and say, 'I love your books.' And the main character, Edie, is disabled, funny, confident, and Flora, who is based on my custard crush, is amazing and creative and an introvert. My favourite thing is when shy people come up to me and go, 'My favourite character is Flora, because she's a bit shy like I am.' And I can always say, 'Oh, secretly Flora is my favourite character, because she's based on one of my best friends, and she's my favourite person in the world.' So actually, by putting my unrequited love into my art, I sound pretentious.
Not at all.
But my art, I'm putting the love somewhere. It's not into the person I imagined I would be, but it's giving children hope and lightly just knowledge that you don't need to be the extrovert all the time."
Yeah, well, it's exactly that thing that you were saying earlier. If you can't see it, you can't be it.
Yeah.
But that's amazing that you can do that and express all of that. And once you get it out, does it, I mean, is it a bit like the prick of the balloon again?
Yeah. A lot of the heartbreak I've had from unrequited love is just having all those feelings that go nowhere.
It's really bad for you.
Yeah,
really bad for you to not express it.
If somebody came to me and said, just so you know, you make me very happy. You make me so happy that I turned that love into this character that I am incredibly proud of. Even if I hated them, I will go, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
That's amazing. So I thought, she deserves to know that she's made somebody incredibly happy.
I'm crying a bit. Don't laugh at me. You wrote the book, which helped with the unrequited love, but did the telling her and her saying, I only see, it's amazing, but I only see you as a friend, did that help? Did that change the crush?
Yeah.
Have you moved on? Is there a new Custard?
So, I mean, we need hours.
I know, I'm...
She's not annoyingly, but... She's still my custard. But we're going to go up the trifle.
Sure.
So she's my custard. And then I have a jam crush.
Yeah. But is this just a sex thing, Rosie? Is that what you mean by jam?
Wait, they're the strawberries. The jam crush is normally 4 weeks.
Okay.
It's normally...
Burns out.
Quite come and go. And, you know, in comedy and acting, before I was a comedian, I worked in telly, and it's always contract work. Mm-hmm. And when I got a new contract, I get a crush.
Yeah.
On
oh, it's
somebody.
Almost in the contract, isn't it?
Yeah. So that will be someone probably day one that I go, I like it. And they're normally straight. And I'm normally very obvious. Everyone knows that I have a raging crush on them. And no one talks about it.
But how do you know they know?
I'm a big...
You're handing, holding their hand.
Yeah, yeah. And if we're going to analyse it, it's probably because I have that underlying custard crush. So with my jam crush... I can go, when are you going to leave your boyfriend? Like, come on, morning, good weekend, are you gay yet? And I love
oh, the pervert element is coming out again, so good.
And you know what, though, ended up dating a jam crush.
Well, do you know what? I'm genuinely not surprised about that, because I think that when the pressure is off, when you're like, I've got someone in the back who I'm planning on marrying, who I'm obsessed with, I'm in love with, and they are, you know, that freedom that you can have to just be flirty and silly, and then suddenly you find, oh, I've got a real connection with this person, and this is actually really fun.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
So this was a long time coming. This was before I was a comedian. I was a researcher on the last leg, and I worked in Rio on the Paralympics.
Wow.
And everyone knows when you're working abroad, the jam crush. Whoa.
I mean, that is a phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happens at the Paralympics stays at the Paralympics.
And I had a crush on the director, but classic, she had a boyfriend. Did that stop me?
I hope not.
Well, no! But that's the thing about the jam crush. I literally came home and forgot about it. Because you've always got that constant crush.
Yeah.
You can pick and leave the jam.
Stains of jam all over the world. It's perfect.
Until
God.
The jam crush got in touch last year.
To say she'd gone gay.
And, well, this is the thing. Because I am wading knee deep in cold shit. When the jam comes a calling,
yeah.
I didn't, it passed me by.
Really?
And so she texted me, and in hindsight, now it was obvious.
Oh.
She said, "Hi, remember me? I've been thinking about you a lot."
Oh my God. But, Rosie, I'm annoyed with you now.
By the way, I've broken from my boyfriend. Shall we go for a drink?
Oh my God. And you're faffing around with custard.
And I was like, oh, she's quite friendly. Yeah, we'll go for a catch up. Went for a catch up again. Patch me back. In hindsight, it was a date. She very obviously told me she was bisexual, and I was like, that is lovely. Well done, you. We even held hands.
Oh my God. You didn't even have to say you needed to.
And I was like, oh, this is lovely. Your two gal pals holding hands. And then I still have sleepless nights over this. She texted me the morning after going, "Last night was great, can we do it again sometime?" This was the beginning of November, and I replied, "No." No, things are quite hectic right now. Because they were quite, and it was not on my radar.
Oh, Rosie.
And I used a phrase that I never, ever have used before. Oh, since I said, now things are quite busy right now. Oh, can we circle back
You should be covering your eyes at this point.
Can we circle back in the new year?
Circle back in the new year. Who are you? Oh my god.
I am Lord Alan Sugar.
Turns out. Oh my god.
So I'm in third place where I wouldn't have done this. I would have bury myself in the garden and lay there forever. You touch me on New Year's Day.
Oh my God!
Happy New Year! I'm circling back.
She's amazing.
Margaret, wow. Still no idea.
What?
I know.
What?
I said to her, which is all true. I was like, Happy New Year. Great to hear from you. I'm so sorry, but I'm gigging and filming every day. Which I was.
Yeah.
But if I knew it was on a romantic
well,
level.
You
it,
I'm so angry. I like. Did you? So you did fancy her?
Yeah.
What? Because I was thinking the only way I will accept this is if you'd gone off her.
What? No, I think because...
You just replied, is this romantic? I mean...
Yeah, but I think because in Rio, because it's a jam crush, yeah. I was like...
You'd written it off.
This is all me fancying her. So, I'm in fair play to her.
Oh, she's coming out of this story very well.
She said, okay, so I've looked on your website.
She's the best.
Yeah, and you are gigging near me tonight. I'm coming.
Oh my god.
Still,
oh my god.
No idea. So, I replied.
Like, it sounds like at this point, if she'd said, I fancy you, you would have been like, what, these obscure clues?
Well, wait for a minute. I did one more Peter Dickhead. I said, oh, brilliant. Can't wait to see you. I got loads of pals coming, so bring a friend. She brought a friend, we all hung out, it was lovely. Slowly, her friend left.
Yes.
My friend left.
She's holding your hand.
End of the night, me and her, and she went, okay. Have I got to spell it out to you? And I went, what?
I mean, yes, very much so. You're going to have to write it on a cake.
Have you written a book about me?
Yeah, this is the only way you understand.
And she said it. She said, I fancy you.
Yay!
And I was like, oh, well, that now makes a lot of sense. And she said she fancied me in Rio.
Yeah.
And then We started dating and annoyingly, I mean, we had a lovely time, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And we parted ways, but it was amazing to go back to all my friends from the last leg and be like, guys, who I'm dating. You know that girl I had a raging crush on 6 years ago? She came back!
She circled back!
She circled back!
When I tell someone to circle back, they circle back! You see, that is incredible. And actually, that's better than getting together with someone in a normal way. Yeah. You know, or, you know, a usual way.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't one time.
Yeah, it is possible. Yeah, this is not, oh, I am the low status person in this relationship.
And then quickly the cream on the trifle.
Yes.
Them a celebrity.
Great.
Okay.
How long do they last? Have you had like...
Oh, I think I got my staples. I got my...
Informative.
Yeah, Gillian Anderson.
Lovely.
Jodie Comer. Peaks.
Yeah.
But then... Oh, you know what I love? I got a big thing for just a very good British actor. We're talking Sarah Lancashire.
Wow.
We're talking Nicola Walker.
Yeah.
They're always quite older.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a real crush or whether I just trying to lie on their bosom.
Well, that is a real crush, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they talk
it's a version.
To me in the northern
in their no nonsense northern way. Yeah. Oh, we all want that. I sort of think that those are crushes. I mean, from my point of view, just someone that you want to run your life for you, you know, and they're lovely, but they just, it's not a sexy thing particularly. Yeah. It's just like, oh no, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say be my mum. Perfectly lovely mum.
Yeah, I mean, we're going into therapy, territory, but basically, an older northern woman that I'm gonna not dig into.
Okay, we're not digging into the cream. That's, producer's shaking her head. Fine.
Actually, we're on the trifle.
Okay, well, what are the strawberries?
Those are... Fuck buddies.
Oh, how lovely! I'm not sure if they're a buddy, it counts as a crush. Like, in your head, they're a buddy. Yeah, sure. Yeah. They're a pure sex.
Yeah.
Hate their personality.
Just.
The person you despise.
No. I tell you what the strawberries are. I thought it's on my way here. And again, I sound like a pervert. But the strawberries are my daily lover fest. So if I'm in a cafe, this morning I was in a cafe and a woman smiled at me and banged, I was like, oh my God, will probably make it brighter. Looking at a hipster, I think she will carry our children.
Yeah, I get this all the time.
Every
nice
day
man in a duffel coat in a second-hand bookshop.
That one.
So, I mean, I do need to at some point say that in your trifle there should be some element of cake or sponge fingers or something.
Oh, yeah! But, very liquid.
But we might have to get you very liquid. We might have to just get you back on at some point and talk you through that.
I forgot the sponge.
It's because you were knee-deep in custard, which is a phrase I will never forget. The maths. Do you know the maths?
Yeah.
Who are you? No, you don't. You don't have to give me a full name. You could write it down, I guess. Okay. I love how secretive that was. I'm afraid it's 39%. But listen, you've popped the bubble. A balloon. So you don't need this very
accurate.
No. A few people have had 17s.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so don't worry. Right. It's,
39% is okay.
Yeah. You're supposed to move on at this point anyway. We're going to find you someone new. We're going to go to a cafe now and get someone to smile at you.
Coach dead. Looking for new.
That's definitely going to work. Thank you very much. You've been amazing. Rosie Jones. So that was Rosie Jones, who I probably should have picked her up on the fact that I don't think she's a psychopath or a pervert. But I know I describe myself like that all the time. It's fine. So she was amazing, and we did carry on talking for quite a long time afterwards about what else was going on in her life. If you can bear to like and subscribe and rate and review, I know it's a bit of a pain in the ass, but it really does help, and we'd love to build this podcast so that we can do thousands more episodes. Thank you for already rating and reviewing and liking and subscribing if you have done. And thank you so much to everyone who's already come over to Substack to see us. It really is a wonderful place. Do check out Crushed by MCS. Thank you. Bye. You've been listening to Crushed by Margaret Caborn-Smith, hosted by Margaret Caborn-Smith and produced by Victoria Lloyd and Lindsay Fenner for Mighty Bunny Productions. If you can bear it, please like, subscribe, rate and give us a nice review, as it helps me feel better about my life choices.